Hey everyone, for Tuesday, March 16th, 2021, welcome to episode 57 of the Ginger and the Beard podcast. I'm AJ, aka the Ginger.
And I'm Reese, aka the Beard.
Today we're talking about HTC's facial tracking, the Roblox IPO, recapping UFC 259, and so much more.
Don't forget to use the chapters below and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. All right, man, let's get into it.
Man, we have got some baller tech announcements to talk about this week. Number one, Asus ROG Phone 5 Ultimate was announced. I think a few days ago at this point. Well, by the time you guys are listening to this episode, it'll be like almost last week. But let's talk about crazy Android gaming phones for a minute. I know you're still an Android user. I was previously an Android user, and I've gone through different phases of my like phone life cycle, where like I used to want it to do all this crazy stuff, and now I just like my iPhone because it works and I don't have to think about anything. But I see phones like this and I'm like, man, that would be kind of cool, actually.
Maybe I need
Oh, a gaming phone. That's what this is, man. It's a gaming phone. If you guys don't know Asus, their ROG line of phones, Republic of Gamers, straight up gaming. It's built for gaming. So let's run down some facts really quick. And while you guys listen to us run down these facts, go look up a picture of this thing. It looks awesome. But the Asus ROG phone has been announced with two displays, one on the front, one on the back. The one on the back is not a full display. It's like a corner sort of display. It's used primarily to like have notifications displayed on it, charging indicators and things like that. It's got two USB-C ports, one on the bottom where you traditionally find one for charging, and then one on the side, which essentially lets you plug your phone in while you're using it in landscape mode, so it's not interrupting your hand-holdingness while you're playing your games, right? So that's kind of cool. It's got two batteries in there. It's a two-battery configuration. I think it totals up to 6,000 milliamp hours, so two 3,000 milliamp hour batteries. So game a little bit longer than you could if you had one battery. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the screen. Screen's 144 hertz, 6.78 inches, 2448 by 1080 OLED display. I actually would kind of assume it'd be higher res than that, but I guess they want to get more performance and less about detail. Snapdragon 888. 18 gigabytes of RAM, holy crap, 512 gigs of storage, and a 6,000 milliamp hour battery. So,
real quick, dude, that kind of display is amazing for a phone. You don't need, like, my computer's 2K, you know, and that's 1080 on a little tiny 6.5-inch display. Like, that's fantastic. But 144 hertz, man.
Yeah, that's the kicker.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's probably why they couldn't go much higher. I mean, a lot of phones, like the Samsung phones, have way higher res screens than that. Yeah. But they don't
gigs
have
of RAM.
Yeah, that's more than my gaming PC.
Mine
I have 16
too.
Gigs of RAM.
What the frick, man? Holy crap.
Yeah, so the storage, 512 gigabytes, pretty good. I think this, again, this is the Ultimate, so I think there's actually one stage lower than this if you don't need the top-end specs, but it's more fun to talk about this one. Yeah. It's UFS 3.1 storage also. And I read that and I'm like, what the hell is that? So essentially it's like the newest version of phone storage. And only thing you really need to care about is that whereas it used to take more than 4 minutes to transfer 100 gigabytes of data between, you know, I guess, you know, to upload it or download it or whatever from your device, it now only takes 1.5 minutes. So that would mean installing things is much faster, moving things on your phone is much faster. So that's good to know. Here's a couple more fun facts. And I want to talk about like gaming phones in general. So it's to be a handheld gaming device, they like tried to figure out like what else can we do with this thing beyond spec it out to the gills, right? So that what they've done is added ultrasonic sensors on the left and right corners of the phone to give you virtual shoulder buttons. So if you're thinking about a video game console controller, you're thinking about your like bumper buttons at the top, you now have these touch sensitive areas on the side of the phone that allow you to do the same thing. And also on the back of the phone, There are also touch sensitive areas to give you like another set of inputs. So you've got four additional inputs beyond the screen that can be programmed as buttons while you're playing these games.
That's awesome.
So what does this cost you? You might be wondering. It will come in at $1,500.
Oof.
And will release in Europe in May.
What? Dude, really?
Yeah. Why is it that like America is like the number one market for cell phones beyond like China? And everything launches in Europe first. I don't understand.
I don't either. What the heck, man?
Yeah, I don't get it. But maybe it's like a testing bed to see if it's like worth anything and then they'll bring it over. But yeah, so I kind of want to talk about like number one. All right, we just ran through all the specs. You guys are probably thinking, why the hell would you ever need a phone like that? So number one, it has more gigs of RAM than my gaming PC, your gaming PC. And it costs also considerably more than my entire gaming PC build. Right?
It's okay. Basically like a gaming laptop.
Yeah. So my question to you is there a market for gaming? Like, do you think this is actually like the direction we should be heading?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely, dude.
Okay. Then you and I have different opinions. So I want to hear your opinion on this.
I think gaming on the go, man, is definitely a thing. I mean, not for the majority of people, but like, a lot of people, if they're like sitting on the train station or if they're just like sitting in a waiting room or, you know, you name it, man, they're just waiting around or whatever. They want to be gaming. They're doing something on their phone. Maybe it's social media, right? Either that's your outlet, or maybe it's watching YouTube on your phone or a movie on your phone, or it's playing video games on your phone. But there's definitely a market for it, for people that want to play. Like, there's competitive phone games out there that get like pretty serious into it. And you know, it's definitely not a need. I would definitely agree that this is not a need. But like, you know, with like Stadia, right? If you could stream those types of games onto your phone, then you want to have good graphics and refresh rates. And, you know, you can be more competitive if you have better graphics, refresh rates, resolution, and stuff like that. So I see that there's definitely a market for it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. Now that you said the Stadia thing, and I guess also, it's hard to sometimes step outside of your own like personal requirements, because I don't like, I live in Virginia Beach and there are no subways and there are no like, you know, I don't commute anywhere anymore because I work here and live here. You know, so there's that. So yeah, I can see your point. If you're traveling or on the subway for 45 minutes every day and you need to fill your time, I can see that. But I guess my comparison was like, why do you need to spend $1,500 on a phone when you could go and buy a Nintendo Switch for like $300, that probably has a little bit better performance and it's built for gaming. You know, and also my kind of argument was that what mobile games are out there that require this level of hardware? You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like,
there's not like,
the most intensive game, the most intensive game, again, that I can think of that I've personally played is probably Call of Duty Mobile.
Yep.
Or also, I feel like they've got like some,
there's like
Final Fantasy
Mobile
games. True. Fortnite. Yeah.
In like the competitive space, right? They're coming out with League of Legends, Wild Rift. Like that'll probably require something like this. Like, there's not a whole lot of like AAA games that you could play on your phone right now that would make sense. Yeah. And there's definitely like not a lot of need for this, I feel like. And I mean, you could go and say, yeah, well, there's a lot of things you probably don't need, right? Like, you don't even need a phone. You just go walk down the street and talk to whoever you need to talk to. But
I need this iPhone 12 Plus Max Pro Ultra.
How would I remember your phone number if I didn't have my phone?
Duh.
Yeah, but I think that there's definitely a market for it. I just think that, you know, it's really not a market that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And it's obvious that you're not interested in it either. But if they come out with League of Legends Wild Rift, hey, maybe I'll need to buy an Asus ROG.
Yeah, true. I guess I'm being a little, I'm rushing to conclusions here, but I suppose if you were someone who would want, who invests this amount of money into your phone, potentially it is your central gaming device. You know, my brother, for instance, like, well, now he's got, he actually has a PC, and he obviously plays his Xbox a lot, but he actually plays a bunch of mobile games, or he used to at least. You know, he's all the time playing something on his phone. So, you know, I guess if you're someone who cannot financially invest in a console plus a PC plus a phone, or even just a PC plus a laptop, like, I mean, sorry, a phone plus a laptop, but you still want a game and you're mobile, I mean, I guess you kind of, this is your all-in-one investment. It's your phone, it's your internet browser, it's your social media device, it's your gaming laptop.
Yeah.
So I guess there is a
space for it either, right? You might not have a desk with like a keyboard and monitors and stuff.
Yeah.
To your point, you know, it's all in one, right? It's a phone, it's a calculator, calendar.
Yeah. And I think actually I didn't research much into this piece of it, but I think they do actually have a docking accessory. Like you can plug it into your TV. Ooh, which is kind of cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That's what I'm more interested in is like, can I hook it up to a controller and then can I plug it into a monitor, right? And have it actually act as my PC without it dying in 5 minutes.
Yep. And then it gets steaming hot and wants to explode. But good news, guys. They actually do sell. This is not a joke. This is real. They actually sell an optional fan attachment.
I saw that.
That just blows air onto the screen of the phone. So I'm not sure how effective that actually is, considering all the compute power is concealed within the body of the device.
You don't need that. Just like open your freezer and just like, you know,
stick it in there.
Just play it with actually, your hands in the freezer.
I actually heard that if you run it underwater while playing it, that's active water cooling. So, you know,
seems legit. You guys should definitely listen to our our recommendations.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, so, during the winter, if you rub sandpaper on your window, it'll stop it from icing over.
Oh yeah, definitely. You guys haven't tried that? That's legit. That's not fake news at all.
Super legit.
no rumors there. That's all real. But anyways, yeah, good stuff, man.
Ghost peppers, they're like easier than jalapenos. You should try them.
Even ghosts can stomach them.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough. I'm sorry. I can think of more, but that's enough.
Yeah, we should move on.
Don't listen to us. Unless you want news such as the HTC unveiling Vibe facial tracking and next generation Vibe trackers. I know you saw about this, and you know I'm always hip to the VR news out there. So
I thought I had one over on you. I was like, I got that, Reese, this week. I found a VR story, and it was like people suspect that HTC is gonna announce a thing, and I put it in there, and I was excited to talk about it, and then you're like, they did announce a thing, and I'm like, damn it!
7 hours ago, HTC Vive did announce a thing. Facial trackers, really good facial trackers. It's a new peripheral for the HTC Vive Pro lineup. This is super exciting. I mean, honestly, out of all of the headsets, I would totally recommend people buying the HTC Vive or the HP Reverb when it comes out. I have the Oculus Rift S, and I would totally trade it in for a Vive or the Reverb when it comes out, like, because they just, everything about them is just like so much, the quality, everything about it. Like now this, oh gosh. Okay, so guys, this is going to be capable of tracking 38 points of movement across your lips, teeth, tongue, chin, and cheeks in real time. So like, you're going to be in, you could be in VR talking, and it's going to see the facial expressions, you smiling, frowning, blowing a kiss, I don't know, whatever you want to do, shock and awe, yeah, whatever you just did. Making faces and stuff, you know. So pretty exciting. I think that there's a lot of value here. So it uses dual camera solution with 60 hertz tracking rate and a sub 10 ms response time using a IR illuminator as well. So I mean, that's like pretty good. Less than 10 ms, like your brain can't pick up on that. 60 hertz, you might be able to a trained eye, you know, be able to catch, you know, some lag there. but you're probably good. But it really ensures that every movement your face makes is captured. The lower part of your face, your mouth, lips, teeth, all that stuff. Very detailed, a lot of accuracy, even in dark lighting conditions. They also recommend you combine this with the Vive Pro Eye. So if you combine these with the Vive Pro Eye, you got full face tracking, basically. You got lower, you got eyes. You can get, you know, you could basically, the avatar that you're using in your VR space is just going to be like making your facial expressions, looking around where you're looking around, doing what you're doing. I'm pretty excited about this. It's compatible with the entire Vive Pro series, connects easily to the lower part of your VR headset. It's going to be available for purchase beginning March 24th this month, so very soon. It's going to be $130 via Vive.com, which, you know, I think is pretty reasonable for this kind of new technology.
Yeah, no kidding.
And if you got a Vive, you got the money, so just buy it. They also announced a third iteration of the Vive Tracker, which I believe is just like body tracking, pretty much. It's going to be 33% smaller, 15% lighter, improved battery life, really, really improved battery life, like 74% increased battery life. Single charge will give you 7 hours of continuous use, opposed to like 2 hours before. So that's pretty darn good. It's smaller, but still offers the same sub-millimeter tracking precision, 240-degree frame of field of view, which is, that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the same as it was in previous models, but hey, whatever. Still has it. So I see a lot of uses for this in entertainment and medicine, workplace training, sports, you name it, man. This kind of stuff. You know, along with, I don't know if you remember that like running pad that like tracked your full body.
Yeah.
You know, like you put all of this stuff together, dude, and we're there, man. Like you're in there. Pretty excited about this. This third gen tracker is backwards compatible, uses the same pogo pin and mounting layout as the original Vive tracker. It's also fully compatible with the Steam VR 2.0 and 1.0 tracking in all Steam VR based headsets. So, yeah, man, this is the package, man. You got to get it all.
We're getting real close to Avatar.
That's what I'm saying. you get this, you start getting all of the, why can't I think of the word when something like you put the chess piece on and it vibrates? What is it?
Haptics?
Haptics, yeah. You get all the haptics. Yeah. You know, you just strap up with haptics head to toe. You got the face eye trackers. You got the body trackers. You're strapped into the treadmill type thing. And
you're just in it. You're living it.
Yep. You're living it, man.
We're back to Reese running around in his backyard with underwear on.
Dude.
And a headset.
Full blown. Just naked.
Just in there.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, this is crazy, man. So the news I saw yesterday when I thought I had a leg up on you was teasing like this lip tracking, and you know, people, you know, the internet does its internet thing, and they're like, hey, they put out this picture, it looks exactly like this picture they announced in the development conference where they talked about lip tracking, and people had actually gotten their hands on some lip tracking stuff before this was announced. Like I don't know how they got it, but I guess the developers or something. And I actually watched a little clip of like people's like mouth in real life compared to the mouth in the virtual space. It was pretty close, like a little bit of an uncanny valley there where you can kind of tell the difference. But the fact that you said teeth tracking, I'm like, okay, so you can get an accurate picture of my teeth. That's bananas.
Yeah.
That's I'm sure crazy.
It's, yeah, man. I think there's some other competitors out there that are coming out with stuff like this, but like, I don't trust them as much as I trust HTC. I feel like HTC's, you know.
Oh, you mean Facebook?
Watch previous episodes, guys.
Yeah.
You're all about that.
No, this is cool, man. I think this is what people need, but it's kind of also like a little bit scary or like dystopian. I don't know, man. I just need to, you know, it's not dystopian in the sense of like Facebook's, but like, I mean, like, I don't really want to go to a VR world, and like, I like living in this world, but I know there's some other people who, you know, might not feel the exact same, but you know, I don't know. It's cool. I mean, it's cool that we have the, yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely don't want to discount those folks, but I just think it's cool. We have this technology that it's, you know, can do this, but,
You could meet with somebody in China right now, live.
Yeah.
And if you had haptics, you could actually shake their hand.
How wild would that be?
Wouldn't that be crazy, right? Like, you could see them in life, like...
I guess it'd be really cool, like, if you're, like, in military, like, overseas, you can't see your family or something.
Right.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, and, like, you could potentially, like, hug them, right? It would, like, feel like a hug. If they... I mean, that's, like, super advanced. We're not there yet, guys. We're not there
yet. Yeah.
But, like, that'd be pretty cool. Or you could, like, dress up as, like, Winnie the Pooh and, like, just go run around screaming... That's a thing.
Give me my honey.
Show me the honey.
Oh man, that's this picture of you running around your backyard in your underwear screaming, "Show me
the honey." Show me the honey. And then you look in the VR space and it's just like some giant, like super muscular version of like Winnie the Pooh. Show me the honey. Show me the honey.
Just tripping mushrooms the whole time. Just
yeah. Like
hallucinating.
Where's Tigger? Tigger, get over here. Eeyore, where you at?
Oh, bother. Oh, man.
That's a lot of fun.
I don't know how we get on these topics sometimes, but...
Yeah. Oh, well. Keeps it fun.
Anyways. Really awesome, man. I'm excited to... I gotta try. I think you know what I'm waiting for. I think I'm waiting for the headline. HTC announces Vive neck plug, and it's literally the Matrix where you plug in your neck, and you fall into a deep sleep, and you wake up in the Matrix.
Just stab a needle right into your spine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
10% less painful than last year's version.
Only a 95% chance of paralyzation.
Don't worry, if you become paralyzed, you can still be Winnie the Pooh in virtual reality.
Right, we'll still plug in. We'll just need somebody to do it for you.
Yeah. All right, man, we need to get out of this. We need to talk about some UFC, but before we do that, I want to remind you guys to go check out our What You Drinking video. Tonight, I reviewed the Optimistic Pessimism Double IPA from the Virginia Beer Company.
And I reviewed STFU by Center of the Universe Brewing Company in Ashland, Virginia. Our What You Drinking beer reviews are exclusive to YouTube, so click the link in the description of this episode to check it out. Now, let's go ahead and talk UFC.
Yeah, man. Oh, my gosh. What a weekend we had last weekend.
So many surprises.
UFC. Oh, my gosh, right? UFC 259. We aren't going to spend too much time with this just because it's at this point, it's kind of a little bit old news, but
we
can't get by without talking about it at least a little bit. But a night of kind of, I don't know, underwhelming performances in some areas, lack of shock in some areas, and then complete and utter jaw droppers in other situations. So, where should we start?
We'll go in order of appearance, right? So Aljamain Sterling versus Peter Yan. I feel like this one's the most drama filled out of all of them. Certainly.
Yes.
So just as a recap, I feel like Peter Yan was winning most of those rounds. We got into the championship rounds, and Aljamain Sterling was down. He had at least one knee down, and there was some miscommunication, it sounds like, from the corner saying hit him or kick him or whatever. And Peter Yan threw that knee to a downed opponent, and man, it looked like it messed him up, dude. It messed Aljamain Sterling up. Something good there.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not 100% sure like how messed up he was. I definitely think the fight should have been stopped, but I do feel like there was a little bit of acting going on, but I don't know, man. What do you think?
It was hard to tell. Like, that's like head injuries are like, it's really hard to tell. I mean, it's just like a nut shot too. It's like, how do you know? How can you judge a man based on getting kicked in the nuts? Like, we've been there. We know it sucks. It sucks a lot. Yeah.
No, you know,
and some days, sometimes it can ruin your whole day, but like, can you continue? Most of the time, probably yes. But a knee of that caliber straight to the temple, like most of the time when people get caught with a hook to the temple, like you're visibly shaken. he's undefended, unsuspecting. Number one, he didn't see it coming. Like, if you brace yourself for impact on something, you can absorb damage a little bit easier. But, like, you're not expecting to get kneed in the face when you're on the ground, per the rules, right? So you get kneed straight to the temple. I'm surprised he didn't go out cold, to be honest. Right. There's a good chance he could have gone out cold with that. Like, that was a powerful shot.
Yeah.
So could there have been some acting involved? Maybe, but there's no way they could have let that fight continue, right?
No, I don't think so.
What now? See, now you and I both watched this together simultaneously in virtual space.
Yeah.
We were both dressed as Winnie the Pooh. And but we were both taken back when Aljamain did an interview. He did a post-fight interview. We were like, what the hell are you thinking, dude?
Right, right. Why would you do a post-fight interview? Like, if you're having trouble walking, right? Because they had to, like, hold him up and pick him up and everything. If you're having trouble walking, how are you going to, you know, talk, right? Like, he's all discombobulated. He's having trouble walking. Like, dude, you need to just go straight to the hospital. But
right,
we find out, you know, later on, he didn't even have a concussion. There wasn't anything actually wrong with him. He was not concussed.
Oh, wow, really? I didn't see this news.
Yeah, yeah. Dana White said it during the post-fight press conference. And he was not concussed. So that's what leads me to think, oof, like, I mean, yeah, he didn't get knocked out cold. He wasn't concussed. I'm sure he was rattled, right? But, like, you come back pretty quick from being rattled, right? You can recover within, like, a minute. That's what makes me think that the fact that he wasn't officially concussed, he wasn't knocked out, you know, 10 minutes later, he's still kind of, like, acting, you know?
Yeah.
I'm very suspicious of it. And then to do the interview, and then afterwards, you know, he's got posts on Instagram, him posing with the belt, that hours before he took off and threw on the ground. Why'd you take it off and throw it on the ground? But 2 hours later, you're posing for Instagram. Something doesn't make sense here.
Not a good look, for sure.
I don't like it, man.
Yeah, from the beginning. That does get a little sketchy. See, I didn't know that piece of the story. Now that makes me question a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't like it.
But what about the other side of the story, too? Like, Piotr Jan, right? Mm. Obviously, he was dominating that fight. He was going to win. Not a miracle. I don't want to say by some miracle. Aljamain's definitely, you know, he's a warrior, right? He could have snagged Piotr's arm. He could have armbarred him. He could have choked him out. Something could have happened. I don't think there was any chance he was going to knock him, Piotr out, just based on his gas tank was empty. But the hand raise at the time of the decision, I was like, that's got to be one of the biggest douchebag moves I've seen in UFC in recent memory. Like, yeah, come on, bro.
So here's my thoughts. First off, he's from a different country and he doesn't speak English, right?
Yeah.
So he didn't know what was going on. The ref told him downed opponent, right? He said downed opponent, and then Peter kneed him. So they called it an intentional foul. But he doesn't speak English, so maybe he was confused, right? So I can see that there's some leeway there. He thought that the judge was it was gonna be called a no contest. And so he put his hand in the air for some reason. I don't think he should have. I think that was a bad judgment call. I disagree with him doing that, certainly. It didn't make sense to me. But I think he was confused of what was gonna be happening next. I don't think that Aljamain should have been awarded the belt there. There's just too many variables going on. Like, I think the way that it probably should work is they should look at the scorecards and the judges should score it at that point. They're going to say, okay, the fight's over. Let's go ahead and score it.
Take a point. Take a point for the knee.
Yeah, take a point for the knee. Okay, if Peter Yan was winning, then we're going to do it a no contest and we're just going to scrap this one. If Aljamain Sterling was winning at that point in time, give him the belt.
Yep.
And say, okay, that's, you know, I think that is more fair than what happened.
Yeah, I agree. No, that makes perfect sense. I feel like they were probably all just a little shell-shocked. They were just like, oh, shit. Oh, shit.
This never happened before.
Oh, shit. What do we do? Dana's like, oh, I don't know. Give him the belt. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. That's definitely unprecedented. It literally has never happened before, which is kind of crazy to think.
Yeah.
They should have stripped fights them. This many years.
You know what they should have done in those instances? Instead of doing no contest or you know, giving somebody a belt, if it has to come down to that, strip them of the belt and say, you know what? Nobody gets a belt tonight.
Vacant.
It's vacant now. You got You were the champ. You didn't act like a champ tonight. You're no longer the champ.
Yeah. This is such a weird one.
Right?
But and a lot of people are already calling for a rematch.
And Aljamain doesn't want to rematch. Aljamain wants to fight.
Corey?
Does he? No, not Corey.
TJ?
TJ. Yeah, fight? TJ. He wants a money fight with TJ.
Man, screw that, dude.
Isn't that fucked up? Dude, he should, because he knows he's going to lose against Peter Yan if they fight again. He knows. He knows he will.
No, they should definitely make the rematch.
They have to.
Oh, man. Well, I feel like we could debate this back and forth for a while, but I'm curious, like, you guys out there, let us know what you think about this. It's been talked about many, many times over, but this is crazy. It's a big story. It's just like it's an onion that just like continues to unfold, right?
Yep.
So many layers to peel back.
Yeah.
Let's
move on.
Let's move on to something that's a little bit cut and dry.
Yeah. 30 seconds or less. Here we go. Amanda Nunes. All right. Talk to you guys later. That's it.
Well, really quick, the one thing to say is like I've read something earlier today that. There's talks. Number one, Megan Anderson, she's done with the UFC. UFC's done with her. She had a 6-fight contract. That was her 6th fight. She's out of the UFC unless they decide to renew the contract. But there's also talk of them getting rid of the entire featherweight division because there's no other competitors. Like, literally, I'm on UFC's rankings page right now. There's no one listed under Amanda.
Yep.
So
there's literally no one under her
on the page. There's literally no, it shows no one.
It's just her.
What I don't know fuck? If that's a bug. Maybe that's a bug. I don't know.
No. That's accurate. Anyway, it's accurate.
Yeah,
there's literally
matter.
No one anyway.
And the Bantamweight division, even she's ranked, I mean, she's champion. Jermaine Durandamé is under her, Holly Holm. But really, like, let's be honest here. Beyond those two, Jermaine and Holly Holm, there's literally no one on this list that I think could even buck up to Amanda Nunes. Like,
no.
But dude, that was the, you know.
There's nobody out there that can fight her.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're going to have to go outside the promotion and find somebody. They're going to have to find some, like, Russian chick who's just, like, a monster in some other division. If Henry Cejudo wants to put on a wig,
oh man!
No, I'm just kidding. Oh, man. He has said before. He had. Wait, was it Amanda that he called out, or was it?
Yeah,
no,
he's like, I'll even fight Amanda. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I mean, they've definitely got to. I mean, all jokes aside, they've got to go out somewhere and find some, like, they, like, I don't know, like these Dagestani guys. Like, are there Dagestani, like, female fighters? Like, there's got to be somebody out there.
I doubt it. Amanda.
Yeah. I mean, Amanda's at this point just untouchable in that division. I mean, I guess she could bounce around.
Here we go.
And
2v1.
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 Mortal Kombat.
Tag team. Tag. Bring in tag team.
Yeah. Dude, it wouldn't even matter. Like, Amanda Nunes could tag team. Like, look how fast she knocked Megan out, though. Like, seriously. Like, she could have tagged someone else in, and it would just be game over again. I think Megan was... I feel kind of bad for her, honestly, but she got a good paycheck. She got a good payday, so... Yeah,
she wasn't ready.
No one's ready. I mean, even with her severe height advantage, reach advantage... just doesn't stand a chance, man.
Nah, she was a deer in headlights, man.
She got socked that one time right between the eyes and the forehead, and it's just like her eyes looked a certain way, and then when that fist came out of camera's view, her eyes are just like completely different. Like, oh shit. What have I done? Yeah. And then she couldn't even defend. She couldn't do anything.
Nah.
But
yeah, it was over so fast. But
yeah.
Let's move on to the main event, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jan Blachowicz.
Jan.
No, I'm just kidding. Jan Blachowicz versus Izzy Adesanya. Going into this, man, I had it Izzy, and I thought the only way that Jan was going to win was going to knock Izzy out, because I thought that Izzy had a little bit better ground game. I really did. And Jan had so much patience, man. He had so much patience. He played the game. He was biting on some of the stuff Izzy was throwing at him, but like, Izzy just, I don't think Izzy was on his A game. And then you get into the championship rounds, and Jan just did what he had to do. He took him down and held him down.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't know. Nothing really stood out to me about Israel's performance this time. I mean, obviously his fight IQ, his intellect is so high and so far superior to most fighters in the promotion, but it was a different like feeling. Like, you know, the last fight he came out, you know, he usually he's got some kind of crazy dance. He's just over the top. He's like super high energy. He came out with a normal walk, normal sort of flat energy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like,
he wasn't there. Right.
Yeah.
I feel like he needs that hype.
I think so too.
Cause I didn't feel the energy.
Yeah, for sure. It wasn't exactly what we were expecting. And I'm not sure if you listened to it, but Corey Sandhagen was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he talked about how his mentality walking into the fight, and even like the weeks leading up to the event, can have such an impact on his performance in the octagon. You know, he's like, he used to be kind of the zen sort of guy, and he is like in his downtime, but when it comes to a fight week, he has a complete mentality. He literally reads books about war, about preparation for war and things like that, and like gets himself in a completely different mindset.
Dude, I used to do that for football and wrestling.
Really?
Absolutely. I would, dude, believe it or not, in high school, I would watch 300 before every football game and every wrestling match.
That's crazy.
I would just... It would just fucking Spartans.
Yeah.
What is your profession? You know? And I would just, dude, I'm like, I got goosebumps right now, bro. Like, it just gets me so hyped.
Yeah. Yeah. You need that. And like, he said that he used to go in there. I definitely recommend you guys go check it out. Right. But he said that he, used to go in there and like treat it as a competition. Which, as fans of the sport and as proponents of the sport, we all like to think it's a competition, right? These are two guys who are highly skilled in their sport. They are competing to see who is the best. We don't like to think of it as like bloody violence, because that's like gives it a bad reputation. And he's like, but no, man, I have to go in there and be prepared to inflict damage on another human being. He's like, if I catch somebody in a heel hook, I've got to be prepared to break the leg. I've got to be prepared to break something. So he goes in there with a completely different mindset than he walks around with on a daily basis.
Dude, wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? Like, I couldn't personally go and break someone's arm on the street. You know what I'm saying? But like, but the other guy, it's either you or him. It's either you or it's him. So do you want to be the one? He even said in his interview, he's like, you know, when he got actually choked out by Aljamain, he said he can remember coming to and having Aljamain running around the octagon celebrating. He's like, that completely was a mindset shift for him. He was like, I want to be the guy running around the octagon, not him, right? So whatever I got to do to make that happen is what I'm going to do. So,
right.
I don't know. Maybe that's something that played into Izzy's performance, right? Like, maybe maybe he just wasn't there.
Yeah, I feel like he was very timid because of the knockout power of Jan. But Jan has that power. So Jan had the power the whole fight. Jan had it was in his, you know, it was his game the whole time. Izzy had to try and play into his game, which was knock you out. But Izzy couldn't do anything.
And then when it went to the ground, that was it. But I guess that's where he weighed in at 205 or 203, I think. Or no, 200. He weighed in at 200.
And Jan was probably like 220 for the fight.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a big weight difference, man.
It is. It
when someone's laying on top of you.
And Izzy was saying in the post fight that like his legs just like weren't there. Well, it's like, yeah, you put on that extra weight. You're 15 pounds extra weight on your legs, man. It's pretty big. That's a big difference. And then you got this guy on top of you that's, you know, an extra 40 pounds more than what you're used to. Then, hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you got.
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
But a wild night of fights, man. I think excited to see what happens next for light heavyweight.
Yep.
Excited to see what happens with Israel. You know, if he moves back down and defends middleweight, obviously. But a lot of good stuff happening in the UFC. But anyways, good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I got a little bit more news. White teases a announcement. Fighters now at the level of NBA, NFL, and MLB. He's saying that they're going to be there very soon. We'll see. Couple things real quick. DraftKings deal reportedly worth $350 million. So they're going to be getting a deal with DraftKings, $350 million. That's pretty good. There's going to be a new upcoming outfitting deal with Venom, which is a clothing line. So I'm assuming that their Reebok deal is coming to an end soon. He said, we'll have announcements this year that will take the sport and the brand to a whole new level. Every year we continue to climb. The DraftKings deal is massive for us. To be now looked at as the other big sport, the NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball. That's always been important to me for these athletes to be respected and at the level these other athletes are at. We're finally there. We're there now. I'm taking that with a grain of salt, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
he also said we're going to capitalize and grow on that around the world and these other countries. It's basically soccer and cricket that we have to measure up to. We're getting there. Yeah. Okay. Sure. after generating somewhere around $1 billion in revenue in 2020, the DraftKings deal is also set to add another guaranteed $70 million a year through to the MMA leader UFC. So, you know, they're making about $1 billion a year in revenue. That's pretty darn good. But they only pay out about 17% to fighters compared to other sports where like NFL, all those guys, they pay out about 50% to the players, right? So 50% of the profit goes to the players, 50% of the profit goes to the company. For the UFC, 17% goes to the fighters and the rest goes to the company. Really, 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 really lopsided, man.
That's garbage.
It's really garbage. It really is garbage. And the reason being is that like the players in the NFL, NBA and all those, they all came together, right? And like they bargained for better deals, for better pay, and they get that now. The UFC's tried it a couple times, but they have had no success, and it's not gone anywhere. But that's what they have to do to get it done. They're all these independent contractors, you know, free agents, if you will, and they just need to come together and get it done so they get paid more. They're getting screwed right now, and I'm just surprised that there's not somebody out there that's like brought them all together and been like, listen, give me 2% of each of your paychecks and we're gonna get this done.
Yeah. Gary Vaynerchuk.
He's gonna Gary. Do it. Gary, where are you at, Gary?
Gary Come V's
on.
Out there.
Come on,
yeah.
Gary.
You look at the purses, you look at what they get paid, and like UFC 259, just to go back to that, Jan Błachowicz came out on top. He made a $1.04 million total. He had $1 million guaranteed, $40,000 win sponsorship bonus, and no winning bonus, which is interesting. I don't know why that is. So $1.04 million.
Okay.
Izzy came in after that, $640 million. Amanda came in after that, $630 million. Megan, got the short end of the stick here, bro. $70,000.
Wow. She got $70,000 to get her ass beat.
$70,000. Piotr got $210,000. Aljamain, $230,000.
Wow. Those guys got shafted too.
Yeah, then it gets pretty low, man. It gets pretty low. Islam Makhachev got $175,000. So Alexander Rakic got $210,000.
To put this in
That was a $100,000 winning bonus for Alexander Rakic.
To put this into perspective, like the minimum pay in the NFL is between, it's around $900,000 to $2.4 million, depending on the year. $900,000 to $2.4 million for like a rookie. You're benched. You're not even playing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's insane. You're a kicker.
You're a kicker. And then you also, they bring on these guys for like a 5-week contract. There's some guys that will just come play for like 5 weeks. They make like $150,000, right? Just to come on and play for, you know, they don't even play. They just come on to like practice and shit. They make $150,000. They're not even doing anything.
Hmm. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. I've seen the DraftKings thing. Like, I keep seeing these commercials for like, bet a dollar and win $150 if any fighter lands one punch. You're like, well, how does that work? But I think it's kind of cool for consumers, for viewers, watchers to be able to bet now officially on UFC. That's kind of cool. That's going to drive up a lot of revenue.
Just bet on Amanda every time.
I mean, it's easy money for sure. Or you could bet on Megan, bet like $10 on Megan, and you get like 10 times your investment probably.
Nah, you're just going to lose it.
Yeah, you're going to lose it anyways. But yeah, I don't know. I think we've talked about fighter pay and why it should be more, but the DraftKings deal, the Venom deal, I mean, sure, that's great. But yeah, you're right, man. They're going to have to. Something's got to give. 17% is nothing. Who's it going to? Especially right now, like they're not putting on the big promotions right now. They're not going to different arenas. They're all happening at the same octagon.
7% of that 17% went to Conor. Seriously, probably. I'm guessing that Conor probably took like a couple of those percentages.
What do you remember what number that was? Was that UFC 257?
No, I don't remember. Probably.
Let's see. I think it was 257.
This 16%er has got my mind all over the place right now.
16%er. Yeah, it was 257. Let's see. This beer. UFC 257. Oh. sorry guys. 1 second. Connor. Connor made $3.04 million.
You're kidding me.
No. $3 million just to show. Dustin made $830,000. $750,000 just to show. Holy shit.
Alright, so they pay out $170 million, probably. To the fighters, around $170 million.
Yeah, Connor has three of that, just in one fight.
This doesn't seem right. They don't pay out $170 million to the fighters, dude. There's no way.
Well, I guess you got to figure all the undercard guys get like 20, 30, 50, 80 grand. So it probably adds up, but yeah, it doesn't seem like it,
man. There's no way it adds up to $170 million. Maybe it's like after taxes or something. I could see maybe after taxes, but
yeah,
who knows, dude?
Crazy. I feel like they should open it back up to, but then again, probably not. Like I was gonna say, they should open it back up to individual sponsorships. I mean, these fighters are making ad money outside. Like they all have some sort of something that they're promoting.
Oh my CBD
that or CBD. You know, supplements, coffee, whatever it is. Yeah. So, but yeah, anyways.
Yeah, they just need to be paid more. Their contracts need to be more, but.
Yeah. Anyway, but you want to talk about some big money? Let's get into our video game segment. We'll talk about some big money.
Let's do it.
So, you ever heard of a little game called Roblox?
It's not so little.
Turns out. Not so little.
Yeah.
What I thought was just some weird little Minecraft knockoff. Turns out it's a $45 billion company, bro. As of yesterday.
How? Dude, the UFC's only worth like $4 billion, right?
Yeah.
I've never even like really heard of Roblox. $45 billion?
$45 billion. I would like to know where that ranks on the like chart of company net worths, but
it's more than my company's worth. Holy crap, dude.
Mine too, bro. They had their IPO yesterday, and once it was all said and done, their valuation came out to $45 billion. So if you guys don't know what Roblox is, well, let me just say this. I thought it was just a Minecraft ripoff, number one. But I actually allowed, my wife and I decided to allow Kai, our oldest son, to play video games like as like a normal routine sort of thing. So we have an Xbox One. We found, you know, went to the store, the Microsoft store, to see what we could download for free. Roblox is one of those. I was like, okay, that seems like a nice little kid-friendly sort of game. So I download it. It's like a bunch of mini games built into one game, essentially. So, right. Like, you guys out there are probably all younger than the beard and I are, and you're like, duh, bro, we know what this is. Yeah, so, like, they have the mining simulator, which is what I assume to be closest to Minecraft, where there's just, like, a giant pit of sand, and you have to go, you mine the dirt and the stone and the diamonds and the jewels and whatever else. And
have you ever played Minecraft?
No.
It's nothing like what you just said.
Okay, well, I'm stupid.
You're a boomer.
Damn it. I assumed the word mine was in there. It had to be close, right? You have a pickaxe. You do this a lot of times.
Yeah. We won't get into it.
There's a lot of this happening.
You're doing that, yeah. That's true.
Okay.
Attacking things and stuff, too.
You're attacking things. All right, building. Fine. Well, anyways, Mine Simulator is just one of a few billion. I don't know how many mini games. It's like hundreds of them. There's like a racing simulator in there.
Dude, there's like a PUBG game in there. Like,
yeah, there's like battle royale simulators. There's soccer. There's
what it comes down to is it's not a game. It's a creative platform.
Yeah,
it's like Epic. It's like Epic's. It's like Unreal Engine 4, just like kind of dumbed down and like really simplified so that like. Any Joe Schmo could go in and make a game.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you guys, I know nothing about it other than I let my son play the mining simulator because it's easy enough for him to jump into the dirt pit, pull the RT trigger and dig some dirt, fill his book bag up and go sell it to the guy at the top of the mountain or the top of the mine. Right. So that was my limited experience with it. And then I saw this. So let's go run through a little bit more detail here. So Roblox generates nearly all of its revenue from the in-game currency. So you got all these, I'm saying teenagers, this is truthful. They said in this report that the majority of their users are under 13. Mm-hmm. So all these teenagers are convincing their parents to buy them in, I think it's called Roblox Bucks or something like that. To buy them the in-game currency so they can buy the skins and the clothes and all that stuff. And half of the sales that they get are from the App Store and Google Play Store. So that's the thing. It's cross-platform. It's on your phone, your tablet, your computer, your console. It's everywhere. They made $925 million in revenue last year. So that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And they're expected to hit $1.4 billion this year in revenue.
What?
Yeah. You want to know how? Because they have 32.6 million daily active users at the end of 2020. That's a lot of freaking daily? People playing daily users.
What? Did you say 36 million?
32.6 million.
What?
Yes. Yes. But interestingly enough, the company is still not profitable. They actually lost $253 million in 2020.
How?
I don't know. I don't know what you're investing. Like, I understand Amazon not being profitable because of the infrastructure, the employees, the logistics. I'm not sure how this company's not. I mean, assuming advertising, development. I don't know. I have what? No idea.
How? I'm so confused. To have that many active users, it must just be server space.
Yeah, it could be that. Could be really expensive to host all that.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
But yeah, so they plan on making up for some of that lost revenue by doing more advertising, but in a natural sort of organic way, which I appreciate. So instead of just putting up like a billboard within the game, which would be the obvious sort of approach, they actually, you know, plan to do sponsorships like Nike. So where you can put some like Nike shoes in the avatar clothing store or whatever, you can have your little avatar wearing Nike shoes, the freshest Jordans, probably pay as much for the actual virtual Jordans than you do the real life Jordans.
Dude, it's crazy.
Which I kind of appreciate that strategy. It's like, I think that's better than putting a billboard up, but, yeah. At least it's not, as long as it doesn't become like, again, I have zero experience with the game, so I can't really speak to it. As long as it doesn't become pay to play, I think games that are pay to play are complete garbage. Like, either charge me $60 to download the game, or give me the option of buying cool skins, but don't restrict any game like play behind a paywall. Like, don't make it so that other players just wreck my day every time I log in because they can pay for the best guns.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But anyways.
Yeah, I don't like games like that either. It should be fair playing field. And then you can buy cosmetics because you want to be flashy.
Right, cool. Yeah, but exactly. But I'm happy for Roblox. I think that's really awesome. I'm excited to let Kai play a little bit more of it and see what it's all about.
Yeah, you have to let me know once you find out more. I've never played it. Somebody recommended it to me and I tried it for like a little bit and I was like, I just can't get past the graphics, man. I got this awesome computer here.
Yeah,
I bought it because I want my eyes to feel good, you know. Looking at these like little block characters, I'm like, why? What? No.
Yeah, true.
Not for me. But
yeah, you use all that ray tracing, all those sand blocks. Just look, the detail is just amazing.
Can't let this investment go to waste. So I got a little bit news, right? Xbox, everybody probably knows about the whole acquisition of ZeniMax Studios, Bethesda Games, everything that came with it. Xbox is adding 20 Bethesda games to the Game Pass tomorrow, and by tomorrow I mean Friday, so a couple days before you guys are listening to it. What's today? So Friday, March 12th is when they're adding all of these games. Here's the games: Dishonored, Dishonored 2, Doom, Doom 2, Doom 64, Doom 3, Doom Eternal, Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 4, Fallout 76, Prey, Rage 2, Elder Scrolls 3, Morrowind, 4, Oblivion, 5, Skyrim, Elder Scrolls Online, The Evil Within, Wolfenstein, The New Order, Wolfenstein, The Old Blood, Wolfenstein, Young Blood. Of these... all but Morrowind, Oblivion, TES Online to Elder Scrolls Online, and Fallout New Vegas will be available through Cloud Play for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members. So those four will not be available on Cloud Play.
Okay.
Everything else will be. This is huge, dude. This is huge. Xbox head Phil Spencer, I'm quoting here, says this: obviously, I can't sit here and say every Bethesda game is exclusive because we know that's not true. There's contractual obligations that we're going to see through. As we always do in every one of these instances, we have games that exist on other platforms and we're going to support those games on the platforms they're on. There's communities of players. We love those communities and we'll continue to invest in them. And even in the future, there may be things that have contractual things or legacy or on different platforms that we'll go do. He kind of didn't make a whole lot of sense in a lot of this. But if you're an Xbox customer, the thing I want you to know is that this is delivering great exclusive games for you that ship on platforms where Game Pass exists. That's our goal. That's why we're doing this. That's the root of this partnership that we're building, and the creative capability we'll be able to bring to market for Xbox customers is going to be the best it's ever been for Xbox after we're done here. So this was a competitive takeover, right? They wanted to, maybe not a competitive takeover. There was competition involved in this decision to buy Bethesda. They wanted Bethesda because they wanted to add it to their Game Pass solution so that they can compete with Google Stadia, so that they can compete with Epic Games, so they can compete with Steam, right? All of these platforms where you can have video games. They want to have all of this stuff accessible, subscription-based. Buy our subscription, get all these awesome games at your fingertips. It makes total sense.
Yeah, it really does, man. I was just trying to look up, like, how much is Xbox Game Pass? I don't recall it being, let's see here, for Ultimate, $14 a month.
That's, like, really good, dude.
Yeah, if you just want it for PC only, $10 a month. or console only, $10 a month.
Like, imagine spending like $60 like every 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
To buy like the new best game, right? That's what a lot of people do. So they just get this and they're like, you know what? I got like hundreds of games for $14 a month, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer if you play your Xbox a lot or even PC. Like, I don't know, honestly not sure why I haven't bought it yet, but I guess it's because I have such little time to play. But this is awesome, man. I mean, like, even Fallout 76, I feel like I bought that game for like $20, I think, on sale.
Yeah.
You know? So, right. I mean, any one of these games still goes for a considerable amount of money that you could, dude, that you could.
I bought, you know, Skyrim for $60. I bought Oblivion for $60. I bought Morrowind for like $20. I bought Fallout 4 for $60. 76 for $60. I bought Doom for $60. Like, Wolfenstein I got for free, but Elder Scrolls Online, I've spent like tons of money on that. Like, yeah. Dude. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great deal. Definitely. It and the fact that it's, you know, you can cross play between your PC and your Xbox. I'm not sure what cloud play is, but I'm
it's assuming like Stadia. That means,
okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how that works, but
you can you can play on a shitty computer.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I think.
Shouldn't have bought a game PC, I guess. Shouldn't have built this.
You might as well just go throw it out the window.
You just might as well
just go get an Asus ROG. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need it.
Oh, man. Well, that's cool. Good for Xbox. Glad they're hanging in there. I don't play console anymore, really. But, you know, honestly, when I installed Roblox and let Kai play it for a minute, I was like, man, I kind of miss, like, this controller experience. I might have to, like, try controller to PC. But I've gotten so used to keyboard now that I'm not sure I can turn back.
How can you go? You got three mechanical keyboards.
I know.
Are you kidding me? You have a gaming mouse.
That's true. I'm pretty set up. I'm pretty straight right now. So,
are you having buyer's remorse?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But anyways, cool stuff. Really cool stuff, man. I think that offering has just extended. It just continues to get, you know, even better.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about those additions and kind of what we were expecting, honestly, when that announcement came through. So,
yep, I agree.
Great stuff. But I think that takes us to the end of our show, man. So as always, guys, we appreciate you tuning in to another episode and ask that you please like and subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on Spotify and please come say hi to us on Instagram and Twitter. We don't bite. We're excited to hear from you guys. We like when you comment on our stuff and interact with us. So please stop by and check us out.
That's right. We definitely don't bite. And of course, if you really want to help us grow the show, please share the episode with a friend you think will like it. For now, we'll see you on the next episode. Peace.
See you later.